Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to another episode of the Pod Daddy. It's your boy Ramon. Man, I'm fucking honored. I got my mans here. We've been rocking for a long time. We was supposed to do this for maybe going on 2-3 months. Man, it's been a long time coming. I got my man Chef G with me, man. One of the best chefs here in Colombia.
Yo, yo.
I'd say probably the best, man. Every time I book him, he come through and do his thing. So, yo, tell him about yourself, man. Let him know what's up.
Don't hype me up, bro.
Yeah, got to. That's what we here for.
But man, I just do food. Most people know me as G or Chef G. You can find me on IG, TikTok, Twitter, whatever. It'll be under Chef G Jones. Chef G, two E's after the G, Jones. But yeah, man, I cook for a living. Mostly now I do private dining, but I do catering. We could do pop-up shops, whatever. If it's food related, I'm with it.
Private dining. Mm-hmm. Word up. That's what's up. All right, so, again, my name is Ramon. Yo, y'all know me, man. It's the Pod Daddy. Social media, at Ramon, LOL. That's Ramon with two A's. R-A-A-M-O-N, LOL. On Instagram, Ramon Bryan on Facebook. Just holler at me, yo. Feel free to engage. Feel free to connect with either one of us, yo. If you hear something you like, you hear something you hate, let us know, man. We here, yo. This is the Pod Daddy. We're going to jump right into it. Yo, we start each one of these with a positive moment.
All
right. It's my favorite time because it gives us a time to kind of reflect. Because the positive moment for me is something that it gotta pertain to me and how I'm feeling and all of that. So,
yeah.
The positive moment today comes from a combination of the three people that we got here. Damn, I be forgetting every time, man. Yo, we got producer Dev in the building.
Big Dev.
You know what I'm saying? Producer Dev is here.
Yeah.
And he contributed to the positive moment, as well as G. We all kind of came up with this one together. But the positive moment for the day is just a reminder to take things one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time, one piece at a time. You're not an octopus. That's my favorite saying to remind myself when I'm working. I'm not an octopus, man. You can't do 8 things at once. You can't do 7 things at once. Sometimes to get through your day, you need to complete one task and then complete the next task and then complete the next task. You know what I mean? And I know you go through that a lot as a chef, because as a chef, you might gotta cook an entree. You gotta cook a dessert. You gotta cook an appetizer. And then within the entree, you got a side, you got 2 sides and meat. So you can't be an octopus.
Right.
So anything you can add to the positive moment, man, how do you do that?
I would say that really touched on one of the examples that I use to like just deal with when I'm doing a lot of shit at once. And it would be when I used to work as a line cook, tickets just come in. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. And depending on which section you work in, what's on the ticket is what you might do. So if a ticket comes in, you got steak, potatoes, fried chicken, whatever, right?
Yeah.
If I'm working a saute station, when I see that ticket, I know what I got to do. The steaks.
Okay.
If they come off the saute section. But let's say Friday, Saturday night, all that shit is just coming in. Ticket after ticket after ticket. And that moment can be crazy because you got a lot of shit to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to having a lot of shit to do, you got a lot of shit that's still coming in.
It's always coming. Never stop.
So I had a dude who worked online with me, younger cat, probably about 5 years younger than 5-10 years younger than us. But
ain't no us, you older than me, bro. You old.
True. But what it was is he would get overwhelmed and try to do everything at once.
Yeah.
And because of my experience with doing this shit, I had to pull him to the side one time. I was like, bro, if you try to do everything all at once, all you're going to do is have a bunch of unfinished shit up in the window.
Boy.
We need the complete tickets.
Uh-huh.
So, get you about, if it's 30 tickets, work on about 5 at a time.
Yeah.
I'm going to put down a chicken for this. I'm going to fry the fries for this. And then work those little sections at a time.
Easy.
Until you got your board clear.
And that shit is conducive for life, because mm-hmm. in life, sometimes you got to wash your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a dad.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You might got to be a husband.
Mm-hmm.
and be a boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, we be out here. Yeah, but, I mean, but regardless of all of that.
Loving, good guy.
Yeah, black men don't cheat.
Right.
But besides all of that, you know what I'm saying? You got so many, there's so many things that go into your day to day. You know what I mean? And if you get lost in the sauce,
yeah.
If you get lost in the, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, oh man, I gotta pick my kid up, I gotta do this, that, and the third. Now, that's when you have, and you know, you don't ever want to make excuses for nobody, but that's when you get those people who, you know, leaving their kids in the car. You know what I'm saying? And forgetting and all of that. And it's just like, just overwhelmed. Yeah. And it's like, bro, you can't be an octopus. You trying to drop your kid off, trying to go to work. You trying to do it. Bro, just focus on dropping your kid off today. You know what I'm saying? Do right now, in this moment, focus on that. And
I'm going to stop you right there because you said in this moment. And listen, meditation is like something that I think that black people really need. All people really need it. All people really need meditation, but I think we specifically need to apply meditation more to our life. But one of the biggest principles of being of doing meditation is being present, being in the moment.
Yep. Right?
The moment that passed, I can't do shit about it, and the moment that's coming, I can't do shit about it. But what I can do is be in this moment.
Man, that's one thing I tell everybody. At my job, I don't say where I work at on here, but like even at my job, sometimes just being present is important because it's like you could be so focused on the last situation that happened that you're not giving this person the most of you. You know what I'm saying? Or you could be so focused on what's coming that you're not giving the person in front of you the most of you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right, bro. Being present. Sometimes I just go to people, and I don't think I say is, "Hey, yo, be present."
Yeah.
And like you, hey, just be present.
Yeah.
Just be here, and that's all we need.
That's how I find stress right there. Worry about shit that yesterday, and worry about shit for tomorrow.
Boy, I love to meditate, and that's one of the things that I try to get my friends closest to me to do. You know what I mean? Even if I gotta lead it, you know what I mean? I don't have no problem being the one. Are you a We gonna get into the pod now. Are you a breather or are you a mantra meditator?
Definitely. Well, both, but the mantra is silent. The mantra be in my head. Like it's all in my head.
It's all
even
in
if
head.
I'm repeating.
So
words,
you're a silent meditator.
Yeah.
And do you do a lot of deep breathing?
Absolutely.
You do a lot of deep. You rely on your breathing.
Yeah. In the beginning, but once I get relaxed, it's just...
What's a session for you? How long you meditate?
32 hours. But sometimes it might even be 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm a quick meditator.
Yeah.
I don't... 30 minutes in the day to meditate.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
That's dedication. That means that you're carving that time out specifically for that.
Yes.
Because you could lose 30 minutes easy. Think about when you at work and you go on your meal. Them 30 minutes go by. Sure. Boy, they gone. You know, even an hour. You know what I'm saying? Even an hour. So to carve that time out takes dedication. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then so you being a cooker, you're in culinary arts.
Yeah.
Did you go to culinary arts school?
Yeah, I went to culinary arts school, actually.
Where'd you go?
The Institute of Charlotte.
Okay.
They're kind of trash because they've been shut down since then. But
I
learned a lot.
Hey, listen, my mother always told me to see it, get a degree. And it don't matter if you got a degree with a C, or if you got a degree from a place that's been shut down since. Yeah. Most of the time when you present your resume, they don't say, oh, this school isn't the, you know what I'm saying? They just want to know if you got it.
Honestly, who gives a shit because I don't present my resume. I'm an entrepreneur now, so they just...
Okay, so you transition. So you transition out of being in restaurants?
And yeah, all of that? Out of at least being like a full-time like cook.
All right, so what made you transition out of restaurants?
Really? To give you some backstory, I went to Charlotte. I decided I wanted to go to culinary school. And I did it, and I just kind of just left everything behind. But while I was up there, I was just working in, like, country clubs and, like, shit that, you know, your college will refer you to, little jobs, right?
Okay, okay.
And so I started working at this one club. They do the BGA tour up there. But I started to look around at about 3-6 months, and I'm like, all the shit I'm learning in school, the mother sauces, how the techniques, the French this, all that shit, I'm doing this shit at work.
Uh-huh.
And at work, they paying me to do this shit. So they paying me to learn. And at school, I'm paying them to learn what the fuck I'm learning at work.
Did you drop out of school?
Fucking dropped out. I was like...
So you don't got a degree?
Nah.
You don't got a
degree? That's why when you said that, I was like...
A little bit.
Let me blow his head a little bit.
Oh, shit. So you got into culinary arts school and then dropped out.
I said, fuck this.
You're a culinary arts rogue dropout.
Literally, if you go to my Instagram, it says culinary arts school dropout. I think I said some shit like, learned it the hard knock way. But yeah. Most of my experience come from actually working in kitchens.
I watch a lot of Chopped.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys, like, they'd be from, like, New York.
Yeah.
Or from, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, yo, when I was 15 years old, I was bad.
Yeah.
And then somebody just told me, hey, work here.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm a Michelin star chef.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. That's a whole nother level. Yeah.
Yeah. What's a Michelin star? I hear that on Chopped all the time. What the fuck does that mean? Do you know?
I'm going to touch on the Michelin. But I like what you was talking about.
Okay.
Like somebody having, like, a different background and coming to being a cook.
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen, the average restaurant kitchen is literally, like, a fucking band of pirates.
It seems it's every one of the motherfuckers are, like, ex-convicts.
Why 60% or more, dog. Because the food industry is like, we take you all. Because we need the help. So if you can fucking show up. If you can be dependable, if you can learn, we will fucking have you. We won't even ask for some of your background. We might give you a paper.
For real.
But we're really not going to check it. So, literally, the average kitchen that you go to get food from is a band of fucking pirates in the back making your food.
Fucking 7 convicts. Goddamn back there putting their fucking bootstraps in the fucking shoe.
But care about the food.
They care about
the
food.
That's all I need you to do. As a chef, that's all I need you to do. Can you learn and can you do... what I need you to get done. And so, can you care about the food?
So as we talking about learning, right? We talking about learning. What was, like... Alright. We talking about learning. You do something that's not really... It's male-dominated. It's crazy because the industry of a chef is male-dominated.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of cooking is woman-related.
Go with it.
Mm-hmm. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, what the fuck is that?
Specifically in America, to be honest with you, black woman related.
Like, no, but even in like, well, no, because when I watch, like I said, I watch a lot of Chopped.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So, like the Indian women, right? Like they're it's frowned upon for them to be chefs.
I never knew that.
Yes, they just not supposed to do it.
I never knew that. Damn.
Like a lot of those women that we see on Chopped, like or on.
When you say Indian, you're talking about the country Indian.
The country, gotcha. I'm sorry. We Asians and you know what I'm saying, people of that persuasion. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm so sorry. but yes, I'm talking about the country of India and those people that come from countries where women aren't allowed to do shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like somehow the men could go do that shit that the same women... But the women are better at it.
Yeah.
And even here, you know what I'm saying? Like, women are the chefs. But you have Gordon Ramsay, Bobby Flay.
You know why.
And
Listen to the two names you said. Now, no flack against them because they're fucking amazing. Yeah. Right? But if we're going to be for real, I mean, they're white males.
So that dominates anything, no matter what the industry.
It seems to be, or at least it gets the most attention. Let's give you an example for Charleston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Charleston been doing dope-ass food for 100 or more years, right?
Charleston is definitely one of those culinary experiences.
But think about the origin of
Charleston.
I watch
guys'
food.
Grocery games.
Mm-hmm. That's another dope.
He'd be there a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mecca for food. But Charleston food in its origin, the best Charleston food, has origins from slaves. That is literally the descendant of slave food. Geechee Gullah, the whole culture, all that shit comes from black people and mm-hmm. black food, right?
Yeah.
But when you first saw it on Netflix, you probably saw a white dude,
Sean Brock. Bacon, shrimp, and grits.
Which is shit that's African, like, in its origin, where it comes from. How you put it together, New Orleans style, either, or Charleston style. All that shit has slave origins. But what I was tapping into earlier is, it's ironic that it's male dominated when all this shit, American food, mm-hmm. come from black women and black men. I even give you a documentary on Netflix. I can't think of it right now.
Oh, but it talks, man, about, you gotta, like, have the doc ready when you on the pod. Because my listeners go to the docs. Shout out to Tiani real quick. Because my last podcast, Tiani was on. Mm-hmm. And she told my listeners to Google the violence that follows Drake.
Okay.
Because apparently there's a history of violence. No, not violence. Apparently. I Googled it.
Yeah.
There's violence that follows Drake,
right.
But that's a different subject.
Okay.
But I had like 20 listeners hitting me, like, yeah. "Yo, Drake really got some shit going on." Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta give my niggas the shit.
Yes, my man Dev just found
Producer Dev
on a fucking Google quick draw. It's called High on the Hog.
Okay.
High on the Hog is so fucking dope. But on one of the episodes, they talk about how, I forget the president, but the president's, I think it was either Washington or Adams, I can't remember. But his chef was so fucking good, his White House chef, that he paid for him to go to France and learn some of their techniques.
Wow.
And he got so dope and renowned for that, like, a lot of shit that he did, we still like the descendants of it, like mac and cheese. That shit come. They showed the connection there, but you gotta watch the documentary for yourself.
Just give it to him one more time.
But it's called High on the Hog.
High on the Hog.
It on shows Netflix, like, the origins of a lot of American food and how a lot of that shit, 80-90% of it comes from us.
Okay, so we got that food. Cook it come from black women. It come from slavery. You know what I'm saying? All of those things, and then somehow we get to 2021. Where we got rappers hiring personal chefs mm-hmm. and all of that. When the fuck did we make cooking cool?
I don't know. We cool now.
We cool as a motherfucker, right?
Because
we make everything so motherfucking cool. Bro, I'm talking about Salt Bae goddamn dropping the motherfucking shit off his elbow. You got motherfucking, like, bro, this shit is cool. But when you cooking, what do you do to make this shit cool? Like, you know what I'm saying? Is that something you even think about? Because, no, I know what you do to make it cool. I know. Matter of fact, don't even answer it. I'm going to tell you what
Go ahead.
You drip that sauce. You play that bomb-ass rap music on the background, and you drizzle that sauce, that Cajun ramenade sauce.
Talk about
that Cajun ramenade sauce that you drizzle over the salmon. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
He done combined two words.
That ain't too. It ain't too.
No,
that
it ain't. You trying to go for remoulade, which is like what you see on the po' boy sandwich.
Okay.
And that is very good because two of the main sauces I use is like Creole inspired.
Okay.
It's a crema, which is a version of a remoulade, mm-hmm. right? Remoulade.
Yeah, see, up. Now you saying it like
I'm
me.
Talking about ramen.
Yeah, they got the ramen lady.
Remoulade, but that's Creole shit, basically. But I do a crema version where I use sour cream. But anyway, I do the Cajun cream sauce too, which is what Bruh's talking about. And I do like to drip that bitch on salmon and chicken. And yeah, I gotta have music in the background.
Let me ask you a separate question. Then we go right back to the pod. So I've been trying to figure out a way to make Alfredo sauce without heavy cream. Like, what if I wanted to make vegan Alfredo sauce?
Okay.
Is there a way to do this? Or do I have to just make coconut milk?
Theoretically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, you should be able to duplicate that because the main flavors in the sauce is not the cream. The main flavors in the sauce is going to be the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be now. Where you're gonna run into the issue is the Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
If you can find a vegan cheese that got a similar flavor, maybe it'll work. The third component is getting mushroom. Consistency. Ain't no mushrooms. The basic Alfredo sauce is going to be butter.
But Parmesan garlic. Has an earthy taste. So if I use mushroom, could I substitute that?
You might alter your color, but you might get close.
Okay.
I would stick more to using garlic, get you a vegan butter. Mm-hmm. Go almond milk or, because it don't have that much taste, coconut milk going to bring a certain flavor.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is to get that consistency, maybe to use a cornstarch slurry instead of a root. Because see, in Alfredo, you ain't got to thicken it up. You got Parmesan cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But to get that smooth sauce texture, use a cornstarch slurry at the end.
I've never heard of it.
Cornstarch slurry ain't nothing but water and cornstarch in a bowl. Like we used to make back in the day to make the fucking, what was the science project when you used cornstarch and water? It was
Oh, yeah, the thing that stick to your hands. Yeah.
See, a technical thing that I learned in school, right? In order to make a sauce, the consistency, like when you put your spoon in there and that motherfucker coats the spoon,
mm-hmm.
that's called nappe. That's the perfect consistency of a sauce, right?
It should coat the spoon.
It should coat the spoon. You should be able to dip your spoon in that bitch and it be on the back and falling off.
Mm-hmm.
That's nappe. Ironically, we black and it sounds like nappy.
Yeah,
but,
nigga. Fuck that. Niggas be out here.
So to get that consistency,
you know need a nigga invented a spoon, right?
For real?
Either the spoon or the fork. Don't quote me.
Okay. You just blew me again. Second time. but to get that consistency, because you're not going to get it from just straight up almond milk. It's going to fall off the spoon. I ain't even going to coat it.
Mm-hmm.
But to get it there, you got to add a thickener. A thickener can be a roux. You know a roux.
Yeah, I know how to make a roux for a fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cornstarch slurry. Those are the easiest ways.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is use what they call, use the eggs, because eggs would be like an emulsifier. That's all you're trying to do.
Eggs in like mac and cheese or some shit.
All kind of shit. The eggs are binding it together.
That's what I told Dev one time. He ain't listened to me.
But if you want
to
be vegan, you don't want to use eggs, so you don't want to use roux. Cornstarch slurry is probably the next thing. You can use xanthan gum too. That's a whole nother level.
But that's a whole I've seen that.
Xanthan gum is like you can drop a little flour in there. I can geek out on the food shit.
Yeah, We ain't gonna geek out. Okay, so all right. I appreciate that. That was for me.
Yep.
And I think that's for everybody, because niggas we like to eat the food that we like to eat. But right. Black people, we be lactose intolerant.
We are.
So you motherfucking, you eating that pasta with that Alfredo sauce with the heavy cream and the cheese.
You wonder why your stomach tore up. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, come on now. So let's keep it real.
And also, I'm entertaining a vegan lady right now.
Ooh. Shout out Dev on the vegan lady.
This nigga Dev is one of the. Why did you have to tell everybody that?
Because when you got one in your life that you like, it alters your life.
This nigga had to come through and be like, hey, bro. Hey, I got a lady.
I just gave Dev an E-pound. So
just letting everybody know I got a lady.
Vegan lady.
It was just for the simple fact of I understand the complications right here. Like, nigga.
I got a lady.
I just want y'all to need it a little low voice, didn't he?
Hey, I got a vegan lady that I'm entertaining to. This is good information. Fuck out of here, nigga. Hey, let's get back to the show.
Right. That was a great moment. Thank you, Dad.
This nigga Dad, like this nut ass nigga always talking shit.
Just to let y'all know.
Got a lady. Okay, so boom. Being a chef, right? Mm-hmm. That shit. In today's climate, like you said, you made the transition from the restaurant to being a personal chef.
Yeah.
So to do that, like, that's a different level of work. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not like, I clock in and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you became an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So, what was the difference in making that transition from being an in-house restaurant nigga to being I work for me?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like every time you say something to me, I'm going to be doing fucking story time. But It is what it is.
I'm gonna make sure we're on story time too much. Come on, bring it with us. Come on with
I'm
it.
I'm gonna tell a quick version of this story. Right? I've been doing restaurant shit for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hustling for a lot of years.
So you could buy the two.
Yeah, since leaving high school. Yeah. That's really how we met. Mm-hmm. Me hustling. I used to throw parties back in the day. That's how I met, bruh. Even though, did we go to school together?
Yeah, I know.
Cross paths.
So you was a freshman when I was a senior, right?
Yes.
You came out 08?
07.
07, so you was a sophomore. We had 2 years together.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, shit crazy. I'm getting better, though. but.
Hold on. Quick story time. I don't mean to cut G off. I want everybody to know that the first time when I actually met G, we was coming, I was coming out of my damn science class. It's when we had actual buildings. It was the math building.
Don't you go there.
The English building.
Don't you go there.
The science building.
He about to go there.
I'm coming out of class to go to the bathroom. I just see this big, swole, light-skinned nigga walking down the hallway with no shirt on. And I'm like, hey, bro, you good? Nigga like, nah, nigga, I just had to fuck this nigga up. But is you good, though, nigga? Like, yo, you want somebody to be here with you? Like, nigga, what's going on? Next thing I heard is, yeah, he's right here in the science building. Oh, my God, he's still on Gregory Jones.
Yo.
Oh, nigga, you was hot. But
that's a different part of my life, man.
You can't always.
That's a different part of my life.
Can't always judge people. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's, I was a.
I didn't meet you
I was a kid. I'm from Gonzales Garden Projects, all right? You already grow up with some kind of defensiveness about you, right? But I mostly stayed to myself. But I always knew, if you bring bullshit to me, I'm going to take care of it. But I went through whole high school. I only had bullshit with one motherfucker. We went in the bathroom. We took care of it. And if I see him today, what's up? What's up, bro? And I ain't seen him since high school. But it's love. But we had to go there because we was clashing too much. We just had to handle that.
Yeah.
So that's crazy that you brought that shit up. But what I was tapping into is, man, I just always been a hustler.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, we was raking yards, cutting grass and shit. So I always knew that I could make money off my ideas. And so that's what the fuck I did. We used to throw parties. And then I worked in the industry for a lot of years. And I went to culinary school. And I was like, yo, I can fucking do this shit on my own.
So when you decided to do it on your own, the hardest thing that you had to decide was really what was going to be the menu. Because you already had the work ethic, right?
It was the jump. Which is the hardest thing for everybody who want to be an entrepreneur.
Did you ever listen to me and Kenneth's pod?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Not the whole thing.
And that was definitely one of the things that we talked about.
And that's like bro was talking about, we got a lot of close friends. KP is my dog. Me and KP, I was renting out a room in KP's house for like a year. KP is my dog. But we had a lot of entrepreneurial conversations about the shit that he was going to do, was doing, the things I was thinking about doing. Because I always knew I wasn't going to work for somebody forever. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But the hardest thing is to just make the fucking jump. Anxiety teaches you that you need to have all these things in a row. I got to be perfect. I can't do it before I got this. I can't do it before I got this. But in reality, nigga, just jump and you'll either accumulate that shit along the way, or you'll learn how to do it without, and just, you know, that's just how it works. So I just ended up just fucking making the jump. And when I actually made the jump, ironically, I made the jump literally a month before we went into lockdown. Now, that could go one of two ways. That could be real fucked up because you can't work.
Yeah.
Or it could be exponentially great.
And that's a common theme amongst a lot of people, because the pandemic showed you who you was going to be. You know what I'm saying? Because even for me, like, yo, I ain't that nigga. But you, I don't know if you remember what I do, nigga. I start selling ramen for a little second.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just start doing, you know what I mean? Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yo, I could do this, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Boom, bow, boom. The pandemic revealed who you was going to be to a lot of people, because you had to get it. Or you had to not get it.
Definitely brought out that hustle.
It gave you two options.
Definitely.
Get it or
yeah.
Don't get it. The club
mm-hmm.
closed. You can't go there and you can't do that. It's closed right now.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you going to do? Your job shut down.
Yeah.
You can't go there right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All the strippers, all the whatever. You know what I'm saying? No, you can't go strip right now. Or you're going to have to grind hard enough to work to get the niggas to invite you to their crib.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, you know what I'm saying? Now you're going to have to get to the house. To the house parties. You're going to have to build those relationships. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're a DJ?
Yeah.
You're a DJ? There's nowhere to DJ.
Right.
Unless I'm personally inviting you here for my house party.
Life to be at
you know what I'm saying?
A party.
Or you got to build your motherfucking clientele enough. Yeah. You got to build your brand enough that you can go live on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? And build a network. You got 300, 400 people following you on Facebook.
Whole these niggas was created in a lockdown.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas was going live on Facebook, doing Facebook, and it was one person watching.
How many parties I went to online?
Online?
I remember typing in the comments, nigga. Chef G coming through with the lemon pepper wings with the VIP section.
But the only reason why that meant something was because your brand was built to us. You know what I'm saying? True. When you said Chef G coming through with the wings, some people commented, yeah. I need 10.
Yeah.
Where mine at?
Yeah.
Why? What's taking so long? What's taking
like it was
so
virtual,
long
but it was real life because niggas related to the life that was prior to that.
I did enjoy the times that we virtually clubbed with each other.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
You ain't had to drive nowhere?
Nigga, that was a different experience right there. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, call the niggas like, hey, yo, you going to the club back? Yeah, nigga, shit.
7 o'clock, Gooch going live. Let's all right, go.
Shit. Hey, but I got to check out Pure real quick, or I got to check out goddamn event.
Yeah.
Just for 5 minutes. And see, I'm
originally from Jersey, so I got the cats from Jersey, so everybody got everybody here, but I'm playing the Jersey club shit, because them niggas is going off up there, you know what I'm saying? So we got everything rocking in the house. Man, we had a good time doing that, but it revealed a little bit about you. You had to learn to be alone, and then you had to deal with being alone.
Yes.
It took away all of that motherfucking people in your face all the time. You had to learn to be the fucking alone, nigga. Ain't nobody sucking your dick every day. Ain't nobody motherfucking, you ain't getting all of that gratitude that you get all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Which is good for a motherfucker like me because, like, I can be extroverted, I can turn it on.
Yeah.
But, like, after a while, I'm like, I need to go home.
Yeah.
I need to be at the crib.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying the introverted part of that shit, just being at the house. I can just tap in through the computer or not tap in, right? But it was dope. It was kind of like the best of both worlds for me. And honestly, I'm a direct recipient of a motherfucker having a business that was built in the pandemic. Because like I said, I quit my last job at BMW a month before pandemic shit went crazy, lockdown. You can't go nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, it was great for me because all the restaurants that you normally go to was fucking closed.
Yeah. Yes,
or they was trying to transition to to-go shit, right?
So now buy some food for me.
Bitch, I already do to-go shit. I already do pick up food.
That's what I always wanted
and
to do.
You want the restaurant experience? I'm coming to you. I'm going to bring you a private dining. So I was bringing the restaurant to the people. And for a year, my shit, I couldn't even keep control of my... I had to, like... The books was crazy. Like, oh, shit. Well, yeah, I think that day is booked. And my shit was built in the pandemic. And so now I'm mostly known as somebody who do private dining shit. But it's really just a reflection of adapting to the hustle. You gotta be like Bruce Lee say though. You gotta be like water.
Water.
You gotta be flexible. You gotta be able to adjust.
Water in the motherfucking dropper.
Adjust to the form. What the fuck is in?
Whatever.
Who was in a pandemic? You had to become
water. Always water.
You had to become what was needed in the moment.
Be water.
I enjoy those pickup Fridays.
I done sold these boys lots of food. These are my dogs. They can really just come to the house and eat.
I ain't gonna
because
lie,
they fucks with me. They done purchased a lot of food from me.
I haven't bought as much food as I probably should have.
No, you did.
But you my nigga though.
Yeah.
I could have bought more.
I appreciate y'all.
But I always put you down on whatever I could put you down.
Damn right.
Yeah, that was always what I'm that friend.
There's a lot of motherfuckers who would just give you dab and be like, I like what you're doing. And you know what's crazy? Like, I don't think nobody is ever obligated because they like you or they fucks with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say a generic version. The generic version is you don't have to. Because honestly, for free, you could just tell somebody about it. You could just share it. But for me, support is not a love language on the list, but it's a love language for me. That shit resonates with me, right? When somebody motherfucking actually spends their money that they don't have to with me, when they can go somewhere else, that speaks volumes. Even if it's just like, a $5 boom because I wanted to support you, dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah.
So I appreciate
you. I mean, bro. I say all that.
And everybody.
All that is nice, but I'm just saying, bro. I'm just a broke homie that laid to death, nigga. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Likewise.
Yeah. We all out.
Likewise.
But, all right, so let's keep it robbing. Mm-hmm. So you're doing the cooking thing, and you're doing a lot of personal dining, and mm-hmm. doing all of that. And does dating change for you at all?
Like you asked that prior when you said that prior to the pod, that motherfucking resonated with me, because when I was in Greenville, right? Yeah, I remember I had locks. Right,
mm-hmm.
I had locks for 4 years. The dating thing changed when I was mentally stepping into entrepreneurship. Okay. I was mentally stepping into, you know what, I'm 30, but I just realized this is who the fuck I am.
Mm-hmm.
I like having locks. I don't like them having organized. I got natty locks.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to Jimi Hendrix. I ain't your average. Yeah. I love music. I love food. And as I was stepping into that shit,
mm-hmm.
a lot of different motherfuckers was coming and gravitating towards me. I remember when I had the fur, that was just crazy, all crazy everywhere. Motherfuckers would run up on me. And ironically, I had never had anything more than waves. I had braids one time. I was like, it looked terrible on me. But I always had the low cut. But mm-hmm. when I stepped into myself, everywhere I would go, motherfuckers would be like, either black, white, whatever. I love your hair. And what they was really saying to me, that was confirming that what I was doing was fucking okay, and somebody fucks with that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when I stepped into the entrepreneurship, definitely, because I had the lock swinging and I was really just being me, dog. Like, it yeah. was a different kind of woman.
So when you cut to slimmies, did you feel any different?
No, because I don't like the maintenance of hair, even though I'm thinking about growing my locks back right now, ironically. But, hold on, ask the question again? I lost it.
When you cut your hair,
uh-huh.
did you feel any different?
Yes. Because the locks have become like a thing to maintain, a task almost. I have become tired of it after 4 years. And to give you some more insight, I had said when I grew locks, it's not just going to be me just growing hair. I got 3 main goals that I'm trying to accomplish. And once I do those, and it was heavy, once I do those, I'll decide if I want to keep them. And then I did my 3rd thing, and I was like, I'm tired of locks, and I cut them bitches off. So yeah. It changed, but it didn't. I still was doing what I was doing, but I just had one less thing to worry about with the motherfucking hair. Mm. And that hair probably had certain things that was attached to it.
I think you cut your hair for a stupid reason, as I did.
What was
it? I think, do you regret it?
Yes.
Do you regret it?
Cutting it?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Do you regret that shit?
Mm-hmm.
You
don't regret it sometimes when I see motherfuckers swaying their locks. You know when I regret it? When I see Cole with his shit. Because literally, I grew my shit the same way at the same time when Cole started his shit.
Cole is definitely the nigga. Cole makes me, but I already had locks way before that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, 2 Chainz and, like, those type of people are the people that make me feel like fuck.
Cole like, made me feel like, because I'm looking at this shit like my shit would be the same length.
Yeah, my
you know
shit,
what my locks
like,
are?
I've been had, by the time Cole grew locks, I was already me. So I kind of more so look at like the people that got their like freeform like when before Gunplay cut his shit like you know what I'm saying like that was like my motivation with my lock, you feel me? Because my shit was I had already Gunplay was like when I had my locks it was Gunplay
you know what I'm saying
Cold shit was cool. You know what I'm saying? But Gunplay was the first nigga out of that Florida Miami shit for real. Mm-hmm. That was like national, that everybody mm-hmm. knew that had them, like, you know what I mean? Like his shit was fucking long and fucking crazy and he didn't care about his shit. So Gunplay was the inspiration for my really think back on it. Like, cause I was in college, mm-hmm. and I remember when cartoons and cereal came out.
Yeah,
Kendrick Lamar and Gunplay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I remember when that came out, and Gunplay was probably my lock inspiration. Now, if I think back on that,
I wasn't gonna do this, but I'm gonna do it because I feel like we gotta do it because we black, right? The reason why I never had locks. Yeah, I'm black.
We keep saying we black. Hey, yo, you ever?
Yeah, I know where you're going. Word. But one of the reasons I never had locks for a long time is because, especially natty locks, because that's different. I remember like people in the neighborhood or people around me, because I grew up in a project, so it was all a bunch of black people in one space. It was looked at, it was frowned upon to have locks, specifically the natty locks. I remember people talking about those people were like, they dirty, mm-hmm. or they nasty.
Their hair ain't.
Because it wasn't organized like you used to, right? And before I grew my locks, like I was heavy in Marley. Marley is really my true lock inspiration. And I wanted to grow it the exact way that he did it. And then I researched it and found out how the Jamaicans grow their shit. They don't twist it up. They just do what it do. Because black hair will do that if you leave it alone.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to do it like that. That's because if you don't do shit to your hair, it'll be one big ass lock.
Yeah.
It'll all mad up, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want that extent. But I only had 18 locks. But I see all that to say, like, right before I did that, black women was coming into their natural shit on a national, like, level. You've seen it on mm-hmm. Facebook. A lot of women wearing their hair, being comfortable with that. And I was coming into my shit like, well, my shit is cool. My shit good enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to rock the locks, and I'm going to do them natty. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be crazy, and they ain't going to be always perfectly retwisted. And I fucking loved it, and I don't regret not a second of that shit.
Yeah.
But Marley was my inspiration behind the locks. And like I said, I looked up, I don't know what it was, one day on social media, and I saw Cole was growing his shit too, and I was like, nigga. What are the odds that my favorite artist and me both growing locks at the same motherfucking time?
So, J. Cole, who you think is the best rapper alive?
Alive?
Who you think is the best rapper rapping right now?
Okay. That's different. Jay's still rapping, right?
Jay-Z?
Yeah.
I mean, you can include him.
Nah, he's still rapping. Yeah. But I don't want to... I'm going to say, like, current... If we go, because for me it's three, it's Drake, Kendrick, and Cole.
You said what?
Drake, Kendrick, Cole.
But
I think so, Kendrick on, is the best technical rapper. He's the most skilled.
Yeah, and there's no competition there.
I absolutely believe that.
All right, so never mind.
I think the I best rapper though, like on a personal, because you can't talk about this without making it personal.
Okay.
For me,
okay,
it's Cole, because he's not only so motherfucking dope at that. He relates to me personally the most. Our journeys are similar. The college dropout. I don't know if he's a dropout, but the college shit.
Have you ever listened to Good Kid, Mad City?
It is one of the best albums to come out in the past 25 years.
You can't absolutely relate to that?
I do. Absolutely. I just relate to Cole a little bit more. Maybe it's because he's from North Carolina.
Is it just because he said he's from North Carolina? So because it's a Carolina, it's like, oh... What if J. Cole was from Alabama?
Hey, you know what?
Sometimes, he has the same story.
Sometimes you just gotta ride for your niggas. That's just what it is, even if it's right or wrong.
What if he was from Alabama? The white folks asking, do it. What if J. Cole was from fucking Alabama?
If he rapped the way he rapped, with that same content, I'd probably still
What if
be
he
with
was
him.
One of them motherfucking CMT?
It's a Southern love, bro.
I feel you, but okay.
But I got West Coast love, too, because West Coast niggas is like my favorite. Like Cube. Cube is in my top 10.
I mean, you old, so you got it. Like,
this nigga's like literally 2 years younger than me. Wow, enough. He's, I don't want y'all, because y'all can't see this. He's literally wilding out. His hair has no grays, which I don't know how the fuck you got that going on. I got a hat on, but my shit is grayed out like our homie. Like, I'm catching him. you can see it in the beard, but I'm catching him.
Nah, I'm out here, baby. I mean,
that's what he used just for men?
No, nigga, I ain't
so
covered
this
my
podcast
shit,
has been sponsored by just
no,
for men.
No, okay, but we are talking about sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by the Adult Prom, and that is going on at the State Museum. The tickets are already sold out, but...
The Adult Prom?
Yeah.
What date?
It's November 20th.
How the fuck did I miss that?
Yeah, you missed it. The tickets are already sold out. But
I feel like I know somebody.
You might know somebody.
Bet.
But yeah, it's sponsored by the Adult Prom. I will be there on the red carpet, and I will be interviewing people as they come in.
Dope.
I want to talk to you about your fits, what inspired you. I want to know if you're getting some coochie at the end of the night. Want to know it all.
Put so, on all that shit.
So, yeah, if you're going to the adult prom, I will be there. Yeah. All right, so back to the pod. So,
yep.
We got in a rap. So, let's just kind of stay at rap for a second.
All right.
They have asked the fuck.
Oh, no, you didn't answer the question that you asked me. Was you rooting for Kendrick?
Kendrick Lamar is the best rapper alive.
Is he the best rapper ever?
Kendrick Lamar is not the best rapper ever, because the best rapper ever is Biggie Smalls.
You think he can be one day?
The best rapper ever is Biggie Smalls.
But how nobody can surpass them two albums?
The best rapper ever is Biggie Smalls.
All right, I know where you're coming from with the energy, but go ahead.
I just think that Biggie is the most put together. Like, I'm talking about from style, from flow, from energy, from swag to everything. Biggie, I don't ain't no rapper that could touch his. I don't even understand why Pac is a question. I only think Pac is a question because he died. But I don't even think Pac is a question.
You don't when think it his music was like that? You don't think his effect was like that?
I don't want to. Yeah, I'll feel you. Yeah, I'm going to back off. Yeah, man, ain't going to go too hard. But I'm just going to say, yes, I love Pac music. Yes, that nigga was a poet. Yeah. Brenda's Got a Baby is probably the
top
most
25 songs ever.
Beautiful song I've ever heard in my life.
Like,
for sure.
It's beautiful.
That song is fucking.
My dog was just talking to him about
beautiful. It's beautiful.
Shout out DJ Q Jack.
Yeah, but Biggie Smalls, man, I don't understand how anybody could think that they could ever do what he did.
See, let me talk
Juicy,
to Biggie fans.
The tragedy of Big.
Juicy
is the greatest.
The tragedy of Big is that he died.
No.
And that, yes, because as great as he was, right, people still got his material to reference, and Kendrick can still get better. Kendrick, what he is? Is he 30-something?
Yes.
If he lived for 10, 20 more years and he's where he at now, he can still get better.
So did Jay-Z. Jay-Z was Jay-Z. Jay-Z is everything. Jay-Z, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Jay-Z is, I mean, like if you just talking about, like, if you talking about longevity and you talking about being a rapper for a long time and maintaining a presence and all of that.
No, I'm not.
Okay, I was about to say, like, Jay-Z and Snoop Dogg are in the class of themselves.
That's different. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like, except what Jay do and Snoop is different. Jay actually do all that lyrical shit. He cover a lot of them bases.
Yeah,
Snoop is great. Being the most popular motherfucker at staying high.
Snoop is the greatest hip hop.
Affecting everything.
Snoop is the greatest hip hop artist of all time. Like, if we just want to just talk about like people,
like success,
we don't give Snoop enough credit.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so like for part. like for me, I got Biggie and then I got Snoop. And I got Jay-Z, and I got those guys in the class wherever they at. And then everybody else can fall wherever they fall. I don't
like
give
that.
A fuck however it go. But those three, to me, is just like, you can't compare. Eminem can't compare because he's not as relevant for as long. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people might want to say him, but he wasn't as relevant for as long.
Literally,
you know
he
saying?
Do some things nobody can do.
But he's not as relevant.
I can put K-Dot next to that motherfucker, I feel like.
Bro, you can't put...
Lyrically.
K-Dot next to who?
K-Dot next to M.
You can put K-Dot next to anybody. He's the best rapper.
But what I'm saying is, if with a motherfucker that's that great...
Give him 20 years from now...
He gonna surpass. He gonna surpass.
You gonna say it. You gonna have a different tune.
He don't have... He don't even have... But the thing about it, he doesn't have the same want to. And that goes into the question.
Go ahead.
The question... As black people lives change, does hip hop change? Because Kendrick Lamar, being from the, this is producer Deb's question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But as black people lives and everything grows and our spirit and our parents aren't from the projects, and you know what I'm saying? Our parents are middle class people, and they doing whatever, and we driving their we could drive our mom's vans, and we can do all of that, and we in the hood, but we could still, you know what I'm saying? We the niggas in the hood that got a little bit more than everybody else, and we don't gotta do that, but we did that, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? As those things happen, you know what I'm saying? And then now when you present us with this record deal that's fucking $200,000 for real, and we just know too much to really even sign that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hip-hop is going to change. Kendrick Lamar is one of those people that's that, for, bro, he's the first evolution of that. Yeah. Nigga, fuck out of here. Nigga, that nigga's out of here. Even Drake.
Okay, so in a capitalist society, right, it's always going to be somebody who's struggling. I don't give a fuck if the landscape of black people changes. As long as we live in a capitalist society where the way that you succeed is by making money and doing things, grunge, it's always going to be somebody.
And struggle music always going to be popping.
It's always going to have that. So that's a fact. That's never going to go away.
But that's the thing. That's one thing that America actually loves, though. Within a whole.
Okay.
They love the struggle story.
Yeah.
That's their inner. As wildly as it may seem, it's their entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And it's really our motherfucking life. What Tip say? My life, your entertainment?
We love it through music, movies, even fucking reality shows.
Yeah.
Like, all that shit. If you see the person that came from the bottom, or even at a level space in life, and made something out of it,
that shit's inspiration.
You can make whatever the fuck that you want to make out of that shit. And you can make a song out of it, you can make a movie out of it. And people won't love that shit. I don't know how the fuck we got there.
I mean, hip hop at its core is still an art form, right? Art is a reflection of life. So as long as we got certain pieces going on in life, we always gonna reflect it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think you're more of a visual person or like a physical touch person, or do you think you gotta hear it? Like, what do you think is the best way for you to interpretate and interpret beauty?
Beauty?
Or not even beauty, or for you to interpret anything. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you can interpret knowledge, beauty, all of those things in different ways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What do you think is the best way to interpret something? You feel me? How is the best way to, you know, even when you cooking, when you motherfucking put that shit together on a plate, you know what I'm saying? Is it about how that motherfucker looks? Are you trying to plate it at the 90 degree angle to make it motherfucking, you know what I'm saying, like aesthetically pre, or are you trying to put that shit on there, drip that sauce on there, and it's just like, when you get that motherfucking smell, or when you dip your motherfucking fork into all that shit.
Because for me, I want to do it all, right? I want it to look great. I want it to taste great. I want you to get it and get that feeling like, oh my God, this is a fucking great plate. Like, how did he put the, and I taste the ginger with the fucking, and I taste the herbs. I want to encompass all that shit in a plate. But to get back to your question, I mean, I guess if you're talking about learning, when I learn, I do want to see it, and I'm obviously hearing it, but I got to put my hands on it. And to tap into some shit that's not related, one of my top love languages anytime I ever took the test was always physical touch. So I got to put my hands on it. I got to try it, do
this
it.
This nigga just like eating pussy.
I do love eating pussy. And that shit distracted me. But, like, for real, though, like, that's, I mean, people learn differently, though. Some people are auditory learners.
Some people
you can sit in a room, put headphones on, and they go do that motherfucker. Some people, you put it in front of them, they get to watch it, and they can just duplicate it. I can do that. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of, like, even, I don't think I'm the best. I think I'm always growing with the food shit. Mm-hmm. But I look and I see what people do. But because I got the knowledge of how to do food, I can see that. You know what? I'm going to go duplicate that shit. But really, really, I got to put my motherfucking hands on it and try it. That is my best connection to it.
All right, so we've actually talked for a long time.
What, we like 40 minutes, an hour?
Well, I'm getting there. We're getting there, so... Yeah. Let's, I think we gotta do this. I like to end my pods. Random questions.
Alright. Can we tap that anxiety before we leave?
Oh, yeah. First off, we do have to talk to one of the things that my man's really wanted to talk about when we got here was anxiety. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I kind of went through a lot. We all go through that shit. Mm-hmm. And like one thing that we always hear is like, oh yeah, you gotta go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you gotta go to the fucking, take your car to get maintenance. Mm-hmm. You gotta do all of that. But we don't really take the time to put maintenance on our brains. Mm. You feel me? Mm. So I just think that this is what this podcast is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is what this is. This is my time to put maintenance on my brain. Mm. And it's my time for the people that come here to put maintenance on their brain. That's why I don't sit here and talk no bullshit when people come here. But I ain't asking you about motherfucking old Marianne dance challenge. I don't care about none of that shit.
You did it yet?
Yeah, I'm
nah. Okay. I'm going to ask 34-year-old man. Yeah. No disrespect to anybody who done it, but I'm good on it.
Yeah, you feel me? We ain't got time for none of that. But yeah, that's not what this is. You feel me? We not. I don't ask you about the headlines of the day.
Yeah.
I don't ask nobody about that. Dev, you remember the first iteration of my pod? Was that? Was us looking on fucking the shade room trying to find something to talk about.
Right.
And figure out what, nah, nigga, no. This is this.
Because you being you.
This is us talking.
And trust me, that's good enough. Better than good enough.
We already talked about meditation. Anxiety, what you got going on?
Because I think mental health is so not talked about. Mm-hmm. And especially in black people. Because you feel like you eventually got to go to the doctor. Only reason why we're scared to go to the doctor is because the doctor costs money. And it's like,
my niggas ain't got insurance.
And, or the second thing is, you won't be putting no medicine, right? I deal with anxiety on a daily basis, constantly, through, I feel like I got to do everything right now.
You took medicine?
Never.
Okay.
Oh, actually, as a kid, I was, air quotes, diagnosed as what they call it, a hyperactive kid, or what's the thing that they give you the Ritalin for? ADHD, right? And I remember taking it as a kid and feeling horrible, but I actually had some focus to be able to focus on boom, 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 right? As a kid. And then I got off of it because I was like, Ma, this don't make me feel well. This ain't my thing. And she listened to me and we didn't do that no more. But the crazy thing about it is everybody deals with anxiety on some level or another, whether that maybe you might need medicine, maybe that works better for you. Mm-hmm. If it works for me. Let's give an example for today. I ran back in the house about 3 times before I left to come here. Oh shit, I want to make sure I got my little stand for my phone. I want to make sure I got whatever. But sometimes in a day, like, you feel like everything either needs to be perfect or you got to do everything right now. For me, that has been a thing. And I had to be like, you know what? Everything don't have to be perfect for that motherfucker to work. Everything don't have to be quote-unquote in order for it to work. I learned that lesson when I jumped as an entrepreneur. It was like, hey, you're never going to have everything that you need or you think you need before you need to jump. Just motherfucking make the jump and adjust along the way. So this is the tapping anxiety a little bit. I just think that we got to make peace with where we are, one. Two, we got to take things one thing at a time, like we was talking about earlier.
We've been talking about anxiety the whole pod, bro.
And just make peace of living in the moment and not in the one that's past or not that the one that's coming, but live in the fucking moment that you got right now.
Yep. I'm going to tell you, want me to tell you a funny story about anxiety?
Kick them off. All
right, so for a long time, right? Whenever I be driving, I feel like this weird, intense feeling in my ribs, in the pit of my stomach. It was the worst feeling I've ever felt.
Like tight?
Like just tight, just fucked up. Mm-hmm. Whenever I saw cops behind me, I would see this every time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I saw the movie Wanted, right? Wanted, that nigga slowed the time down, right?
What's it called?
Wanted.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Wanted. That nigga fucking slowed the time down. You ever seen that shit with Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
That nigga, it would slow the time down. And shoot the flies off of, shoot the wings off a fly. So yeah. I was getting these weird feelings while I was driving, and I was like, oh shit, nigga, I'm a superhero.
Go for it. Goddamn right.
Right? So I'm like, I think I could slow time down or something. Like, I'm driving and I'm like, oh shit, this means that I got some fucking abilities, nigga. Like, I'm going through this. I'm trying to figure out what it is that I can see. Like, I'm like, oh shit. So then one day, I'm talking to this girl, and she telling me that anytime she in a room with this certain nigga, she get the same feeling.
All right.
And I'm like,
I don't know where this is going.
I'm like, yo, you a superhero? And she like, nah, I just keep having anxiety attacks. And I was like, what? And she was like, no, like, whenever I be around you, I just have anxiety attacks. I'm like, oh, like, that's not just spidey senses? Like, I thought my, like, I thought my shit was really, like, I thought there was something I didn't even correlate the fact that it was police behind me when this was happening every time. It wasn't until the next time it happened to me, and I looked in my rear view, and I'm, you know what I'm saying? Or I realized, oh, shit, I just passed a cop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or, oh, shit, this, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, bro, I'm having an anxiety attack.
Black man shit in the car.
You know what I'm saying, bro? I'm in the car wilding, and I'm not even knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this been happening to me for years. Nigga, this been happening to me for so long. I'm driving and almost, I'm talking about curl up. Oh, fucking my whole body. And then I convinced myself that I was a superhero. That's how I got over it. Before a young lady told me that it was an anxiety attack.
You are panicking right now.
You're panic in a full panic. Full blown panic. And I don't even understand what's happening.
Right.
Yeah, bro. That shit was good.
We don't have the knowledge though.
Yeah.
But it ain't in the hood. Like, the hood ain't going to the doctor.
You don't even know what a panic attack feel. You don't know what a panic attack feel like. You don't know what anxiety, all that. You don't know what all that shit feel.
You think you just going through normal shit.
You just think some shit happened.
I'm just getting through.
Bro, you go ahead. You think you about to die off of a fucking panic attack.
Because it fucks up your breath. Yeah. First off, your breathing is related to
all
of
that
okay?
shit's happening.
Yeah.
You get out of date, nigga. Did my kidney just rupture? Am I having a heart attack? Predetermined heart attack at the age of like 30, maybe.
And the only thing you think to do is to get a lunch bag. And who still got brown lunch bags?
Does that even exist? Even though that was the way they on the movies.
Yeah, that's the only thing you do. But you ain't got no brown lunch bag with you.
That's breathing though. That's meditation.
But. You gotta know that. Earlier. You know what I'm saying? That. So then when you go through that a couple times, then you realize, oh shit, nigga, I need to breathe more. I just need to learn how to breathe. I just need to learn how to channel the energy that I got going on in me, and then get that shit out. How to say to myself, I'm gonna inhale all of this, and then when I let this out, it's gone.
There we go.
It's gone. Like whatever it. I'm going to inhale it all, and then when I let it, hey, yo, man, when that nigga, when John Coffey on the Green Mile opened his mouth and got them exhale, them bees, nigga, I knew that I had the power, that it was in me.
You said some shit earlier, though, that slow it down shit, like when it was in Warner, when he slowed things down, he was like, he could do everything the way he wanted to do it, essentially, right?
Yeah.
It's like when you play a sport. If you play ball, right? You ever notice people
when
a lot of athletes to talk
down.
To when the game slow down. When the game slow down, you're in your moment. I was doing meal preps the other day, right? And my boy Blake was in the living room, and he was like, "Cause see, when I'm in my zone, I don't do a lot of talking. I'm just working, getting through it. I had like 4 pots on the stove. I'm dicing shit over here. I'm plating shit. I'd be like, bro, you in your zone? And for a half a second, I stopped to acknowledge it, but. I was also listening to Eat the Frog on audiobook, which I think everybody should if you procrastinate at all. But I was listening to that, and I was like, I am in my zone. And it's just like when you're in the game, when you're playing a sport, and even though shit is like, it's giving you anxiety or whatever, you're nervous, you're in the moment, but when you in your motherfucking zone, in your space, the game slows down. Yes.
Like, nigga, when you,
you see the plays that's happening two plays later.
But it's like that when you fucking too.
Sometimes. Absolutely. Well, yeah, anything that you're doing well.
Boy, yeah. Anything you ever been in your bag at, when you in your
you're
bag,
in your zone, that shit slow down.
Sometimes, even at my job, and yeah, I ain't even got the greatest job, but sometimes when I'm doing that shit, and I know I'm doing it well, I walk in the motherfucker, and I be like, man, y'all motherfuckers don't even know what I just did. Nigga, I just motherfucking did the shit out of this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And it just is a great feeling, man. It's a great feeling. It's always the greatest feeling ever to meet your standards.
Yeah.
Whatever your standards of your job are. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever it is that you wanted to do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever it was yesterday that happened that bust your ass.
Yeah.
And then today when you got to work, it ain't bust your ass. Whether it's you're an entrepreneur or you work 9 to 5. You feel me? It's something. You might have one day you went to work and it was 95 orders. And you was like, yo, goddamn, everybody fucking with me today. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then you had to make 95 orders, nigga. And you had to figure that shit out.
But you did that shit.
You know what I'm saying?
As hard as it seems.
You fucking did that
as
shit.
As much as I had to
you told niggas,
you had to do
hey,
it,
yo,
you
know what, man? We're going to split this shit up, nigga. I got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm going to give 30 motherfucking niggas breakfast, 30 niggas motherfucking lunch, and I'm going to get the last 70 motherfucking, you know what I mean? Yeah. You did what you had to do, man. Yeah. That shit wasn't the right math. I think it was 35 should have been the last.
I wasn't even listening. I was listening to the principle.
40. But
the principle is that you get through that shit. Like, and you can do it one thing at a time.
One thing at a time. You split that shit up. You get through it.
If you can bridge that anxiety attack, if you can bridge that to learning how to slow your shit down.
Slow it down.
You deal with your anxiety. Yeah.
See, that's what helped me.
Yeah.
Because I was having anxiety and didn't know I was having anxiety.
Exactly.
I thought it was a superpower. Mm-hmm. So then when Shorty told me it was anxiety, I was just like, oh shit. Well, no. Still superpower. You know what I'm saying?
That
and I was just like,
shit that is a
yeah, because I've been dealing with this for mad long. Like, I had already positioned my mind that that's what was happening. Mm-hmm. Bro, you know, this had been happening to me for 6 years.
Yeah. for a lot of niggas.
For 6 years before I talked to a girl and she said, oh yeah, that happens to me, and it happens to me every time I'm in the room with this creepy nigga, and I'm like, oh, you got a superpower. Maybe you just know creepy niggas.
And what was the difference between you and her though?
What was the difference? There was no difference.
You had the same problem. What was the difference between you and her though?
She looked at it and she thought that it was a bad thing, but I didn't.
Another perspective,
but see,
and
no,
maybe a little more knowledge
see,
about
no. Ignorance is bliss. So she did have knowledge.
Okay.
And sometimes, see, that's the thing. You can over-educate yourself. You know what I'm saying? So no, sometimes. See, for me, ignorance was bliss.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the fuck was happening to me, and I told myself what was. I was driving, I saw a movie, and I said, oh, that's what's happening to me.
Yeah.
I'm a superhero.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I chose my fate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've seen mad anxiety attacks on movies.
Yeah.
I've seen that mad times.
Yeah.
But I never looked at that and said, oh, I must be having an anxiety attack.
But see, it goes further than that. It's one thing to, like, know what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Had a knowledge of it. It exists. I'm having an anxiety attack. But what do we do? Right? Because now, if you had the knowledge of how to deal with that motherfucker, I think he would have been better equipped because you would have learned how to handle that better.
I dealt with it. I did deal with it the best way.
But that's because
I didn't know what the fuck it was.
That's a testament to you being a motherfucker that's strong and able to do that. The crazy thing about it is people go through what you're going through and they're not mentally able to go through it, and they might freak out and might crash the car or might pull over or whatever. Some people need them tools. Like, you know what? I'm having an anxiety attack. How do I deal with this motherfucker?
Uh-huh.
I think we need the knowledge and we need to know how to deal with that. Because everybody, as strong as black people are, everybody ain't fucking strong. And the crazy thing about it, it ain't even you ain't even got to be, it ain't no, you don't get no extra points. And we think we all got to be strong. Or we look at strength the wrong way. We're dealing with stress and all kind of bullshit, and we just dealing with it. And we're like, you know what? I fucking handled that. I had a day that was crazy, but like, you ain't got to have no day like that. You could be actually normal. You could be actually a little more happy with a lot more stress, a lot less stress, if we know how to handle it and we know how to acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I think we're missing. We're missing those pieces, like when anxiety is happening and how can we healthy or in a more healthy way deal with it, meditation, slowing your shit down. Figuring your shit out one thing at a time.
I think that, alright, so, damn, I don't want to fucking talk for 3 hours. But, okay, so, meditation is just like being an entrepreneur or going to college. It's not for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, like,
I disagree, but go ahead.
No, you can't disagree with that. Because people are humans. And people
I think
are
meditation
different.
Is for everybody. You just got to figure it out. Prayer is meditation. Stopping and being in a moment
but
of meditation.
No, but prayer isn't for everybody, nigga.
Exactly.
That's what you got atheists for.
But prayer is a different form of meditation, right? Meditation, prayer might not be for you because you're not religious, but meditation can be for anybody, regardless of your religion.
Yeah.
Stopping your life could be for anybody.
But not everybody. Some people are the type of people that need shit to be on go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But there's a balance in life. You can't be on go all the time. Sometimes you gotta go to sleep. All right,
so, this can get me in the sign that, oh my God, producer Dev, bro.
Producer
this nigga got so much fucking foresight, fucking multitasking,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you think that's a skill?
When he said it earlier, I disagree with it, but I ain't speak on it.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's a skill that you need to have.
Okay, so stop. No. I'm not talking about necessity. Do you think multitasking is a skill?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a weakness.
Never thought about it like that.
I think it's a weakness. If you got 6 tasks to accomplish, right?
Uh-huh.
And you got a certain amount of time, uh-huh. you don't need to multitask and do them all at once. You need to knock them shits out. You need to allocate time to
do
them. No,
you need to allocate those things.
I'm only speaking from my perspective.
But that's what I'm saying. So you can't say, that's what I'm saying. Like right now,
mm-hmm.
you're speaking from a perspective of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sounding very you-ish.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So multitasking is a skill
mm-hmm.
that some people need to develop.
Right.
Because some people are not only chefs,
mm-hmm.
they're publicists,
mm-hmm.
they're digital marketers,
mm-hmm.
they're developing the menu,
mm-hmm.
they're, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you are, you know what I'm saying? Like, in everything that you are, in your, mm-hmm. you being an entrepreneur,
yeah.
you multitask, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
So, like, bro, like, that's a skill that you have to develop. Like, don't undersell that and don't make it seem like... Because you're not a team of 1,000.
Hell no.
You're a team
Most
of you.
A team of 1. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, my nigga? So don't make it seem like, multitasking mm-hmm. isn't... No, yes, you get each one done.
Yeah.
And the way you execute it might, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
nah, to say
see,
that to nigga...
That,
like,
that's, I'm just trying to make it applicable, right? Like, in an hour, I do so many things, right?
But multitasking.
At a time,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing one thing.
I could dig it.
At a time.
But to be able
even if
to
I'm
do
doing,
multiple...
Even if I'm doing 5 different things kind of at once, I'm focusing, because this I had to rewire
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need to do it all at once. So I got a pot on the stove. I'm dicing shit over here. I'm plating shit over here. Essentially, I am doing all those things at once.
There's a difference between being chaotic and effectively multitasking.
There we go.
Multitasking is doing multiple things in it. You know what I'm saying? I do this thing, I do this thing,
mm-hmm.
I do this thing, or I do this thing while this thing does for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to do this, these two things
mm-hmm.
in 20 minutes,
right.
and then I can still allot the same care and time to
right.
this thing because I'm multitasking. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So, yes, you're doing one thing and one thing and one thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you're multitasking. You know what I'm saying? And that is a skill that you have to perfect to do anything. If you're going to college,
I wanted to come across time management, all of that.
I wanted to come across right for me.
What I'm saying is, you don't have to do all those things at once. You don't have to complete them all at once. I think you need to allocate certain times to, hey, I'm going to finish this task by boom. I'm going to finish this task by boom. Of course, I'm working on the other ones.
I think right now you're speaking in the most extreme of good circumstance.
No, I'm speaking in chaos because that's what I work in.
Yeah, but my nigga, how many times, like, you don't have the, most of the time there's multiple things do at one time. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is learn how to, yes, you deal with one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking that.
Right.
But in dealing with one thing at a time, you you understand how to deal with one thing at a time within dealing with multiple things.
Yeah. But it's still,
and the, that's the multitasking. That's the understanding.
So let me give it to you because I done did all the jobs. Production shit I did, like being on an actual line producing cars. I work for BMW. Like, there's a lot of shit you gotta do. But in reality, we did one job at a time. In the craziest place where we produced 300 cars in an hour, or I'm sorry, 2.5 hours, right? A lot of production is going on, but all the production ain't coming from you. See, that's, it's digging into, like, multitasking is, for me, that's
not what I'm talking about.
But let me finish with give my little point. For me, it's, yes, I am working on these pieces. I am working on all these things at once. But I'm realizing that they all not going to be done at once. And they might be done one after the other, but they done one after the other. Mm-hmm. Right? I might have started them all at the same time. I got a pot on the stove boiling for potatoes. I got a pot in front that I'm making a sauce. I'm over here dicing the garnish for the, I got the plates lined up so when I actually make it, right? All that's not going to be done at once. The potato is not going to, but if I allocate, the potatoes will be done in 10 minutes. Boom. The sauce will be done in 30 minutes. So, potatoes, sauce, garnish, plate. Even though I'm working on all those things at once, the completion, and I allocate it to, I'm going to complete this at this time, I'm going to complete it at this time. It will be stupid for me to try to do it all at, complete it all at once, when all those things require different time or different attention.
He broke his multitask down to an alarm clock.
Because after you've done it so many times, it becomes that. Now when you, but that's just a motherfucker who's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to think of it like that, because when a ticket comes in, and the ticket is fried chicken, rare as beef tartare, which takes 5 minutes to put together because you already got it. A piece of salmon that's medium. All those things require different times, right? But you want your table and everybody get their food at the same time, right? So I have to allocate different times. I can't start the beef tartare when I put the steak on, because the steak going to take 15, 20 minutes depending on how you got it. Mm-hmm. I start a steak first. The steak's going to be completed last. That's the last thing I want to come out. I started the beef tartare 10 minutes before it got, 5, 10 minutes before it go out, right? I fry the chicken maybe like 5 minutes after the ticket came in. Mm-hmm. So what happens, the completion works like this. Fried chicken. Steak.
Mm-hmm.
Put that beef tartare together.
Ew,
your medium salmon might have came in between them. But you have to do it that way, because in my mind, I want to do this whole ticket and I want to do it now.
You right.
But
you're
cannot do it now. And that's what I've learned. I was losing. Because I was thinking that I got to do every fucking thing right now. And that's what multitasking teaches you. Because you've seen so many people that multitask and they just get it done, right? But in their head, they're going fucking crazy. I was going crazy trying to do everything at once. Mm-hmm. But when I learned that I can devote some of my attention to some of these things, but learning when to complete them, that shit changed my whole outlook.
Boy, nigga, I'm not gonna motherfucking fight you in that. Nigga, that you, nigga, you just whipped your dick out and pissed on me, boy. That was good.
I was saying you could apply that shit to everything.
That was
dog.
Good. I like that. You're right. You're right.
Bro, it's like it's two things that really helped me, dog. That one, because I can literally like it made sense when I was talking to you, because you cook, and even for you,
yeah,
like it made sense, right? The second thing that really made sense to help me deal with anxiety was, dog, that You can buy a brand new car tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. But you're always going to need to maintain that motherfucker. I don't give a fuck how great. You might pop a tire. You might need an oil change. Mm-hmm. This is a brand new car. I gave my brother this analogy. I was like, bro, even if it's fucked up, you still, your life, you still got to maintain the car, right? You, it's always going to be some shit to come up. That's just life.
Yeah.
You got to maintain the motherfucking car. It's going to need an oil change. It's going to need some tires. It's going to need whatever to keep it going. But the motherfucker going to keep going as long as you take care of it and you maintain it. And acknowledge that life ain't over when you get a pop tire.
Yeah.
You just got to fucking change the tire.
God damn it. This nigga Jesus philosopher. So that's two random questions, man.
Shoot.
I was ready to motherfucking whoop your ass. Think we go multitask and I'm going to multitask shit at your ass. He was like, nah, nigga, hold up. Nigga.
He's, let me tell you. Let me, now I look into this nigga face and I say, you a cook, ain't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to relate this shit to you. Come on.
You right. You right. I ain't even going to front you, bro. That was the rightest thing I heard. Somebody else other than me say. I ain't gonna front you, nigga. You right to the motherfucker.
Hey, man, I've enjoyed this podcast. Real talk. I'm glad I finally fucking make it, bro.
Man, bro, this is what I do, man. I just like having conversations.
Heard.
I know a lot of cool people.
You do?
I know a lot of cool people, and I just want to talk to all of them.
And you one of the coolest motherfuckers, if we're gonna be honest.
Man. Let's not pat my
See how he tried to humbug me.
yeah,
he like, one of the coolest niggas out here, you hear me?
Man, shit. It's like, nah.
Ladies, y'all hear that?
I appreciate that. Nah, I don't think so, bro. You cooler than a fan, and you one of those. I always say that eagles and wolves, you know, they kind of are one of those things, like, they be in their own vibe. Like an eagle see another eagle, and he go around that motherfucker.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, an alpha wolf. See another alpha wolf. And he be like, all right, bro. We either gonna fight or we gonna go around each other. Mm. You feel me? Like, we one of those people that kind of seen each other. Bro, I didn't know you, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we seen each other. We looked at each other and we was like, we don't gotta go. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right. You know what I'm saying? All right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You here, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Always knew you was dog and always knew you was homie.
Yeah, so, and that's all it, like, sometimes when you, I don't know, I just feel like it's certain energies that attract each other. You know what I mean? And you know what I'm saying? No homo, you always been of that elk to me, so I'll never front on you. You know what I'm saying?
Never, likewise.
So, you know what I mean? I appreciate the friendship. You know what I mean? I appreciate all the motherfucking free wings you gave me at Blue. fuck y'all niggas. Definitely ain't free there. You know what I'm saying?
My nigga. Secrets out.
Alright, but let's get into random questions before you dip out.
Shoot.
Alright, so what's the first meal you ever perfected?
First meal I perfected?
Or you felt like it was your signature dish?
Jambalaya or shrimp and grits.
Okay. Alright. So, if you had a superpower, what would it be?
If I could choose?
Yeah, if you could choose your own superpower, what would it be?
Be super fast.
Why the fuck would you be super fast?
I could do so many things. I can multitask. I could rob a bank. I'd be rich. I can get so much accomplished in a very small bit of time.
So you would be fast, like the Flash, like you could alter time.
I can do all the shit I want to do in an hour.
Would you be fast enough to alter time?
I don't need to alter time. I just want to get rich and get the family good. I could do it in like 2 hours if I was like Flash.
Would you be a villain or a superhero?
I'd be a superhero, but the world might look at me for a villain because I might do some shit for us that we need that the world might be like, why are you doing that?
Robin Hoodish.
Maybe.
I might rob the bank and give it all back to
them. Oh, the hood's going to get it. The hood's going to definitely get it.
Okay. Let me ask you this question.
Are you answering these questions or just me?
Am I answering?
Yeah.
I have to answer them at some point in time.
Yeah.
He want to know what superpower
is. Yeah, what's your superpower?
I change them kind of every time somebody asks me, so I'm glad you asked me. Based on what you just said, I would probably choose invisibility. Because
that was my second.
Yeah, that would definitely be something similar to you. Like, I love to just get in, get out, and then that'd be the end of that.
Maybe we just slight hood niggas and we think about the bank. Yeah. My bad.
And I definitely want to see naked bitches.
Somebody's in here. I feel it. I can't see them.
All right, but next question. What would you rather fight? You ready?
Go.
10 horses the size of a chicken, or one chicken the size of a horse?
Oh, definitely. Oh, wait, man. 10 chicken sized horses.
Yeah.
Oh, all day. Chicken size? Give me that.
10 chicken sized
horses. Have you ever seen a chicken fight? You ever seen a rooster fight?
Have you ever seen a horse fight?
But it's 10 chicken sized horses. I kick them bitches. I kick them bitches in the chicken horse tenders. They in my ankles. But a fucking horse sized chicken. You hear me? You ever seen a chicken get wild? A chicken get with it. A horse sized chicken? No, sir. You got it. But 10 of them chicken sized horses?
But
you
ever heard of horsepower?
But they chicken size.
But what I'm saying is,
so they got like 0.3 horsepower per horse.
Nah, it's still a horse, but it's just chicken size.
Get my ankles if you can. I'm gonna stomp them bitches in the horse chicken tenders. I don't wanna fight no horse sized chicken, dog. No, sir. And they can go tenderize me.
Okay. Alright. So
after you listen to this podcast, I want you to go ahead and Google chicken fights.
Alright.
Or so rooster fights.
You a chef, so you gotta settle the debate.
Ooh.
Is a taco a sandwich?
Or are sandwich different versions of taco? Which came first?
Oh, fuck.
Maybe the Mexicans came up with the taco first, so everything else is just a sandwich. Everything else is just a taco sandwich. Is a hot dog a taco?
I got another question.
He said, fuck my answer.
I got another question.
Go.
Fuck one, marry one. Leave one on the side of the road.
Fuck one, marry one, leave one on the side of the road. Okay.
Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, Meg Thee Stallion.
Wow. Marry Cardi. Fuck Meg.
Leave Nicki booty ass on the side of the street, nigga. She booty, nigga.
I like their journeys. Yeah. I like Cardi's journey better.
I love Nicki. I do. But she's not a rapist. Marrying a rapist, baby.
I wouldn't marry. I mean, I would fuck her. She could be the fuck too.
She could.
But I'd rather fuck Megan.
But no, thank you.
Yeah.
Would love to fuck.
And Megan. I would marry Cardi because I respect where the fuck she came from. I remember seeing her on IG as a stripper, just doing wild shit, fighting.
And she's Spanish. Look what she is, man. You know she couldn't outside Arroz con Pollo.
I was rooting for it.
Arroz con Pollo. With a little bit of olives in there and all that, man.
And some Cardi pussy for dessert.
Come on, man. She popping. Pop it.
Who was yours?
I had the same order.
For real?
Ironically, Dev is the weirdo that had a different order.
What's your order?
Hold on. Nah, no, give your original order.
Give us
producer.
Give your
original order.
Original was marry Meg.
Okay.
Fuck Nicki. Leave Cardi.
He thought he was gonna leave Cardi on the side.
Why did you leave Cardi?
After me and him had the original conversation.
Uh-huh.
I changed it. I was like, yo, I fuck goddamn Cardi.
Uh-huh.
I leave Nicki.
Okay.
Gotta leave Nicki, man. Nicki's on the street.
Hey, at the end of the day, like what you like. For real, but that's my shit.
I feel like
my shit's solid.
You can't like Nicki Minaj.
Because it was like, yo.
Nicki's canceled.
I don't know her as a person, but from what I've seen,
every time I've heard her.
Nikki, I think that Nikki is canceled because she's too big of an artist to have not been making no moves. Like, really, since, like, Nikki, I don't think that she has the same fan group that she had before.
Probably not.
But you married a rapist. And all of those people can't stand on what they stand on.
Yeah.
If they going. And then I seen some shit that said that Nikki was dating him when she was 16.
Oh, Lord.
So if she was dating him when she was 16, they're like 5 years apart.
And that's weird.
He's a rapist.
That's different when you like 35 and she 30. But you, she's 16 and you even in the playground?
And
that's where you at.
At 16, bro, you shouldn't be nowhere.
No fucking new.
At 20 years old, you shouldn't be nowhere around. 20, yeah. At 20, I understand still being on the block and she walking home every day, but come on, guy.
But she walking home from school and you 21 years old.
You're a creepazoid.
Yeah.
And she's a creepazoid. No, she's not a creepazoid. She's a victim. And I feel sorry for that sister.
That's some growth right there, bro, because that's for real.
Yeah, I'm saying I feel sorry for that
sister. She is a victim.
For real. But, man, this was a fun-ass pod. I love you for coming.
Since you went to Nikki, I want to give you one more nugget.
Mm-hmm.
Since you went to Nikki, I think that food is important and our health is important, right?
Okay. Yep.
Nikki's ex, Safari. Mm-hmm. Safari's sister, mm-hmm. her name is Shaniqua Samuels. She wrote a book called, damn, Dev, I can't think of it right now.
Producer Dev.
But
talk about the book, Phil.
The book is for eating for a black person, right? Mm-hmm. They talk about the vegan shit, they talk about all kind of shit, but I think everybody should take a look into that book. Safari's sister book. She's the nutritionist. She like into holistic shit. But I learned a fuck ton about food and about living as a black person from her book.
What did you say her name was?
Her name is Shaniqua Samuels. She spells it really well though, like E-E-Q-U-A.
Yeah, can't. Okay. Producer Dev is looking. Hold on. Hey Siri, Shaniqua Samuels book on eating good.
Okay, I found this on the web for Shaniqua Samuels book on eating good. Check it out.
Eat right for sight?
Nope.
Is that it? Nope, that's what we got.
I'll find it. It's called We Are Not the Same.
All right.
Yeah. We Are Not the Same.
There you go. All right.
Just one more little black nugget to throw in there on the way out.
So we have two books.
Eat the Frog.
Mm-hmm. And
We Are Not the Same.
All right. So it's been an amazing episode.
Yeah.
Man.
I fucking loved it.
We both a little.
We talked about a lot of shit.
Hell yeah, man.
I know this shit got to be about 2 hours long.
But we're going to drop this shit in the morning, bro. Don't worry, man. I'm dropping shit in the morning.
Great episode.
Yeah, bro.
Appreciate y'all having me, man, for real.
I'm glad you came through, bro. I do this shit all the time, man. I don't really say this all the time, but you welcome to come back, man. Come on back. I'd love to have a part two. Don't get me wrong. I say this all the time, and I've never done a part two.
Well, I'm right around the corner, so if you want to, we can do it.
But, yeah, bro.
Chef G Jones on Instagram.
Facebook. Yeah, Chef G Jones. The Adult Prom coming soon. Also, make sure y'all motherfucking fuck with Tiani's fucking credit repair business. If you use code word monkey, she'll give you a percentage off. Yeah, this is the pod that he won. Thank y'all for listening.
Yep.